Welcome back, everyone, to another deep dive. You know, we love unearthing these kind of hidden gems, and today we're going all the way back to the 17th century.
Ooh, exciting. I love this era. So much change happening. What exactly are we diving into?
Well, hold on to your hats, because we're cracking open the plain man's pathway to heaven.
The plain man's pathway to heaven.
Yeah.
Now, that's a title that doesn't mince words, huh? By Arthur Dent, right?
You got it. Published in 1601. And it's not just some dusty theological text. This book had serious influence, even on John Bunyan.
Oh, wow. The author of Pilgrim's Progress. Talk about a literary legacy.
Exactly. But we won't get sidetracked by Bunyan's story today. That's a whole other deep dive waiting to happen.
A breadcrumb for our listeners. I like it.
Always got to leave them wanting more, right? Okay, so back to Dent and his pathway. What struck me right away is how he structures the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, the format's pretty unique.
It's a dialogue between four different characters.
Ah, so it's not just straight up preaching, more like a conversation.
Exactly. You've got Theologus, kind of your classic theologian figure.
Makes sense. He lays down the doctrine, I assume.
Then there's Philagathus, representing virtue and good deeds.
Okay, so we've got the mind and the heart covered. Who else?
Asunodus. He's like the everyman trying to figure things out, asking the questions a regular person might have.
So relatable. And that leaves
Antilegon. And as his name suggests, he's the resident skeptic, always pushing back, questioning everything.
I love that. He's like, Dent knew he had to address the doubters head on, not just preach to the choir, so to speak.
And it makes the book so much more engaging. It's like you're sitting in on a lively debate instead of just being lectured at, you know?
It definitely adds a layer of realism. These characters are wrestling with real questions, doubts, anxieties. You feel like you're right there with them in a 17th century coffee house or something.
Totally. It makes those theological ideas so much more accessible. And you're right, Dent doesn't shy away from the tough stuff. In fact, he jumps right into it.
Oh, how so?
Well, the book starts off by painting a pretty stark picture of humanity's condition, without God, that is.
Right, because that was a huge theme at the time, the whole idea of salvation, damnation, all that.
And Dent uses this term reprobates.
Reprobates, okay, that's a word you don't hear every day. Who are the reprobates in Dent's worldview?
Basically, those destined for damnation.
Whoa, heavy stuff. Even for the 17th century, that's intense.
It was a different time, that's for sure. But it gets you thinking, right? What did that concept mean to people back then?
Like, was it just an abstract theological idea?
Yeah.
Or a real fear people lived with?
I think it was both. You have to remember, this is post-Reformation England. Everything's in flux. Religious authority is being challenged.
So much uncertainty about the right way to believe, the right way to be saved.
And I think Dent is tapping into that anxiety, that very real fear of ending up a reprobate.
But he's also offering a way out, a path to avoid that fate.
Exactly. And that's where this idea of the pathway to heaven comes in.
Okay, so we've got this backdrop of sin and damnation. And then Dent's like, don't worry, folks, I've got a map.
Pretty much. And he's not afraid to get specific either. Like, he goes on to critique the whole society of his time.
Oh, really? So it's not just individual salvation he's concerned about. He's taking aim at societal issues, too.
He's like, hey, the way we're living, fast track to trouble.
I'm sensing some fire and brimstone here. What kind of things does he call out?
He talks about moral decay, greed, disregard for the poor. It's pretty powerful stuff.
Wow, I didn't realize it was so socially conscious. And this is all woven into those dialogues between the characters.
Yeah, it makes it really come alive. You get these different viewpoints clashing, just like in a real conversation. And that's what makes it so fascinating to explore.
Especially with that skeptical anti-Legan character. I bet he stirs things up.
Oh, he definitely keeps everyone on their toes.
Yeah.
And that's what we'll be diving into next. How Dent uses that dialogue to tackle those tough questions head on.
I'm ready to hear more about how he handles these societal critiques. Does he just rant about it? Or does he offer solutions too?
Well, he definitely doesn't hold back on the critiques, but it's not just empty complaining. He connects it back to that central idea of the pathway to heaven.
So it's like your actions in this world have consequences for your soul.
Exactly. And that makes those societal problems even more urgent, right? It's not just about earthly well-being. It's about eternal salvation.
Wow. Talk about raising the stakes.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also curious about how Dent reconciles that with the idea of grace and forgiveness. Because he does talk about those too, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's not all doom and gloom. He's not saying everyone's going to hell. There's this constant tension between the severity of judgment and the possibility of redemption.
Which makes sense, because that's at the heart of Christian theology, right? We're all sinners, but we also have this potential for transformation through God's grace.
And Dent explores that tension beautifully through those dialogues. Like, remember Asunidas, the everyman character?
Yeah, the one who's trying to make sense of it all.
Well, he often expresses these doubts and anxieties. He's like, wait, how can I possibly live up to these standards? How can I be sure I'm on the right path?
I bet a lot of readers relate to that. I mean, who hasn't wrestled with those questions?
Totally. And it's through those struggles that Dent highlights the importance of things like repentance, humility, seeking forgiveness. It's not just about following rules. It's about a genuine change of heart.
So it's like, even amidst all that talk of sin and damnation, there's still this message of hope.
Exactly. And that's what makes Dent's approach so compelling. He's not sugarcoating the difficulties of the Christian life, but he's also offering a way forward, a path to navigate those challenges and find peace with God. You know what else I found fascinating?
What's that?
How much time Dent spends addressing ignorance. Like, he anticipates so many of the questions and doubts people might have.
Really? So he's not just preaching from a position of authority. He's engaging with those who might disagree.
It's like he's having a conversation with the reader, anticipating their pushback, and then offering thoughtful responses. It's almost like a 17th century FAQ on faith.
Haha. I love that. So he's not just laying down the law. He's inviting people to think critically, to grapple with these ideas for themselves.
And again, I think that's where the dialogue format really shines. It creates this space for questioning and exploring different perspectives.
He humanizes the whole thing, right? It's not just this abstract theological treatise. It's a real conversation about real struggles and hopes. And I bet that made it all the more impactful for his audience.
I think you're right. It makes you wonder, maybe that conversational style is exactly what drew people to this book back then. Like, they were craving that kind of open dialogue about faith instead of just being told what to believe.
And that's something we still crave today. Right? That authentic engagement with those big questions of life and faith.
Absolutely. So even though it's from centuries ago, Dent's approach still feels surprisingly relevant. Like, he understood that faith isn't just about blind acceptance. It's about wrestling with doubt, seeking understanding, and ultimately finding your own path to truth.
And that process of seeking and questioning, that's what makes the journey so meaningful, isn't it?
I think so. And it makes me want to delve even deeper into those dialogues, see what other insights we can uncover.
We'll lead the way. I'm ready for more. You know, we talked about Dent's pathway having echoes of Dante's Divine Comedy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You mentioned that earlier. The whole journey through hell, purgatory, and paradise. I see the parallels. We start with this really stark view of humanity, all that sin and damnation talk.
Exactly. But then, like Dante, Dent ultimately leads us toward a vision of hope. It's not just about fire and brimstone. It's about recognizing our flaws and striving for something better.
Transformation through God's grace, right?
Exactly. Redemption is possible. It's that classic story arc that resonates no matter what time period you're in. We love a good comeback story, don't we?
We do. And Dent, in his own way, he gives us that story. But what's so unique is how he does it. Through dialogue.
Right. He's not just preaching at us. It's like he's inviting us into this conversation, this debate about how to live a good life.
Which makes you wonder, was that part of the reason it was so popular back in the 17th century? Maybe people were tired of just being told what to believe?
It's possible. That conversational style could have been really refreshing at the time. You know, like those late night debates you get into with your friends.
Totally. Where you're actually wrestling with these big questions, not just accepting pat answers.
Exactly. And in a way, Dent's approach feels surprisingly modern. Because we're still asking those same questions, aren't we? How to live a good life? What happens after we die? The meaning of it all.
Timeless questions. And even though the answers might be different now, it's still that same human need to search for something bigger than ourselves.
Absolutely. And Dent, I think he tapped into that need brilliantly. He gives us this framework for exploring those questions, even challenging our assumptions along the way.
And he reminds us that it's okay to doubt, to question, to struggle. That's all part of the journey.
It's like he's saying, hey, this faith thing, it's not about blind acceptance. It's about wrestling with it, owning it, making it real for yourself.
Which I think is such a powerful message. And it makes this book, The Plain Man's Pathway to Heaven, anything but plain, wouldn't you say?
Definitely not plain. It's complex and thought-provoking and honestly a bit surprising. You don't always expect that kind of depth and nuance from a 17th century religious text.
Well, that's the beauty of these deep dives, isn't it? You never know what treasures you're going to uncover.
And today's treasure, I think, is that reminder that the search for meaning is a journey, not a destination.
Beautifully said. We started by talking about this book's historical context, the whole post-Reformation world, and how dense writing fits into that.
We explore that fascinating dialogue format and how it creates this dynamic back and forth between different viewpoints.
Not to mention those insightful critiques of 17th century society. Greed, poverty, moral decay. Dent didn't shy away from anything.
But through it all, he offers this message of hope, of transformation through grace. It's a reminder that even amidst the darkness, there's always the possibility of redemption.
It's been an incredible journey through the plain man's pathway to heaven, and I hope our listeners have enjoyed it as much as we have.
Me too. And maybe, just maybe, it's inspired some of you to chart your own pathways, to explore those big questions, to wrestle with doubt, to seek that deeper understanding.
Because that's what this is all about, right? Keep searching, keep questioning, and who knows what amazing discoveries you'll make along the way.
Until next time, happy exploring.